The reading is from Psalm 119, starting at verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it, that I will follow your righteous laws. I have suffered much. Preserve my life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, O Lord, the willing praise of my mouth, and teach me your laws. Though I constantly take my life in my hands, I will not forget your law. The wicked have set a snare for me, but I have not strayed from your precepts. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Yes, Jesus, all praise belongs to you. You are worthy of all that we can bring to you in word, in song, and of ourselves. And we thank you for the wonderful gift of your word. And we pray that you would encourage us and inspire us through it in Jesus' name. Amen. If I can encourage you to take a seat. Our children's groups don't start back until next week, but if any of the younger children do want to go and make use of activities, they are out there, but equally feel free to stay in here. However you feel most comfortable is entirely up to you. We're going to be thinking this morning about the Bible, and that you may sit here and think, well, that's a bit of a stereotype, but actually we are, as a church, we've been reflecting through what we're calling our statement of becoming. That's a statement that we stand by as a church to say that we long to be disciples of Jesus, and we're thinking this morning, having had a bit of a break through the summer from reflecting on that statement and having a wonderful series in the book of Jonah, we're returning to that statement today and thinking around the theme of discipleship, what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. And as we said, one of the best definitions of a disciple of Jesus is somebody who's seeking to be with him, to become more like him, and to do the things that he does, which is what an apprentice would do if they were following anybody. And so as apprentices of Jesus, that is our desire, to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, more like Jesus, and to do the things that he does. And we're thinking particularly today about the Bible. Now, in our discipleship to Jesus, as followers of Jesus, I wonder what brings the greatest delight. And this answer will be different for all of us, I'm sure. For some, it may be fellowship with other believers, that you delight in coming together on a Sunday or at other times. For others of you, it may be worship, the joy and delight of being able to sing your heart out to God. For others, it may be experiences of God that you have. So some of you may just take delight in seeing God do something amazing in someone's life. Others of you may find joy and delight in seeing or creating something beautiful. It could be something to do with his creation, the family he's given you around you. The list of things that we can delight in with God are endless. Even in creation itself, some of you will be more delighted by the scene of the woods than on the mountaintop, and others more by the night sky or the sea. There are so many things that can cause us as followers of Jesus to delight in God. And for the psalmist of Psalm 119, who sat down and wrote this really long but really beautiful psalm, praising God for something to do with every letter of his Hebrew alphabet. And he's rejoicing and praising God and thanking God for so many things. And in these verses that we've just heard read, one of the things he's really praising and thanking God for is what he calls the law. Now, when Hebrew speaks of the law, they're not talking about the rules and regulations and guidelines that God set, although they do see those as not only important, but also a blessing. But when you hear someone in the Hebrew Bible referring to the law, what they're referring to is what they call the law of Moses, which is what we would call the first five books of the Bible. So Genesis, Exodus, Deuteronomy, Numbers, Leviticus. Those wonderful books that tell the beginning of the story of God. And he loves those books. He wouldn't have them as books. They would be scrolls that they would have read together. But he loves these words, these stories that have passed on from generation to generation to speak of the wonders of God. And he loved them. He loved hearing them. He loved studying them. He loved receiving from them. He loved them, not only because of what they were as words, but because of what they revealed about the God who was with him and for him. And he loved and trusted these words so much that he was willing to live his entire life by them. He knew that in tough and difficult times, which clearly in the psalm he is facing, times of sadness and difficulty and sorrow and grief and fear and anxiety, he knows that in these times the words of God bring life and hope and peace to his soul. Or as he puts it so poetically, these words are so wonderful, so amazing, that he's willing to incline his heart to perform God's statutes. These words are changing his very life, his very core, his very being. And to live in God's ways is a matter of the heart and of the will. And in this psalm, you see someone who values and highly regards the words of God, not simply because of what they say, but because of who they reveal. He says, "Your testimonies," that's the stories of God, "are my heritage forever." Now, a heritage is something that's been passed down through the generations. So what he's saying is the generations above me have told me these stories. I have received them. I'm living by them. And they're my heritage forever. So it's my intention to pass them on to the next generation too. These words are mine to receive from God. So when it comes to our discipleship today, thousands of years later, what role do God's words play in our lives? Because we have even more than the psalmist did. The psalmist had what we have as the first five books of the Bible. On top of that, we have the Psalms themselves, of which this is one of 150. We have writings that spoke of the coming Messiah to be. Then we have wisdom writings that give us loads of understanding and insight, particularly from King Solomon. We have the Gospels that speak of who Jesus is and everything he's done for us. We have the letters of the first followers of Jesus and what they wrote and how they perceived the world to be. There is so much in the Bible for us to love. But the question is love your first thought when it comes to God's word? When you think about God's word, what do you imagine it to be? A rule book? A series of stories? Something we have to read because we're told we have to read it? Something from Sunday school? Something that we memorize bits of because it's a good thing to do? Or is it the very life of God? Is it something we love? Is it something that we read because we want to, or simply because we feel we have to or ought to? Do we believe in the importance of its words and in the importance of its author? Is it everything to us, or is it nothing to us? Is it a means to know God better and to love God more? Now, this is not a word of condemnation. Please hear this. But a recent survey suggested that 40% of Christians don't read their Bible between Sundays. It's not a condemnation, just an observation. But it's interesting, isn't it, that we know that Scripture is God-breathed. We read about that in Paul's letter to Timothy, that all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching and rebuking and building up and all those things. We know it's important. We know it's a significant thing that we have it and a wonderful thing. But as disciples of Jesus, there's an element of reading God's word that is indeed about doing it despite how we're feeling. There is an element of it that is choice and will, and sometimes, let's be honest, determination and perseverance, because it can be hard to read. And there's an element of it that's self-control, that we've got to make the time and make the decision to want to read it and all those things. But we'll find that in life, and you've probably found in life, we tend to spend more time doing the things that we love doing. And we give more time to the things that we love and the people we love. So if we're struggling to read the Bible in our lives, the question shouldn't be, how can I read the Bible more? Or how can I read the Bible better? The question should be, how can I love the Word of God more? How can I be more in love with these words? And there's a few things I've found that have helped me, and I hope will help you, to love the Word of God more. Firstly, by knowing that it was written for you. This word of God, as the psalmist points out, is a beautiful, beautiful gift from God to his people so that we can know who he is. A wonderful gift from God. The word of God was written for you so that you may know and see that he is God. Not only by God himself, but also that was why the authors wrote it as well. The reason they wrote these words down is because they wanted the next generation and the generation after that and the generation after that to hear of the wonders of God and who he is. They didn't want it to be forgotten through history. They didn't want the truths of God to die with them, so they wrote them down as an account so that future generations will know. It was written for you. What a wonderful gift. Secondly, by believing it was written, yes, by God, but also through those he was partnering with. There is a lot of wonderful humanity within the words of God, and it's a huge encouragement to us. Davina was saying last week, you read about Jonah, and actually it's really encouraging to know that even when we get things wrong, God is faithful. There are wonderful stories of humanity, which means there are stories of humor and angst and sadness and grief and joy and laughter and celebration of humanity. And all these things are found within these words because it's not only written by God, but it's also written by those he chose to write it with. But he chose people to come alongside him and write down his character and his nature. Thirdly, just by recognizing how amazing it is that we even have it. You know, these words written over hundreds of years by loads of different authors. And then each one of those has been found and discovered through time and restored and renewed and placed together and put together for us so that we can grow in our understanding of the truths of God. It's amazing that we have it. Not only do we have it, but in the West, in this country, most people, I think the average household has at least 3 copies of the Bible in it these days. And as well as that, you can have them on your phone, at your fingertips. There are people working tirelessly around the world to translate the Bible into multiple languages so that as many people as possible can receive it. It's been translated more today than ever before. Isn't it wonderful that we have this in our fingertips, at our disposal, whenever we want it? There are places that if you take a Bible to those places, you are in serious risk of your life. We don't have that risk. It's a wonderful gift. Do not take it for granted. Fourthly, by neither underestimating nor overestimating it, the Bible is a powerful, life-giving, important, life-changing, useful, central word from God to us, for us. It is not, however, a moral handbook and was never designed to be. It's also not a history lesson. Yes, it has history within it, and it's important to listen to that history, but it is the word of God, inspired by God, written in love to us. Those human elements in there are there to teach us, yes, to guide us, absolutely, but more than anything, to reveal Jesus to us. The word of God is the word that's supposed to point us to the one who has all authority, that is Jesus. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to Jesus, and the word of God shows us he is our true authority. It's not just a story. It's not something that we use as a moral stick against which we judge others. Regardless of what people might think, we never use it to bash people over the heads or whatever those things are. It is fun. It is living. It is active. It is life-changing. Yes, sometimes it's hard to read. Yes, it can be hard to get our heads around. But with the Bible, you tend to find you get out what you put in. So if you're prepared to look at it, read it, study it, you will receive from it. Fifthly, read within your means. By that, what I mean is, if you sit down and intend to read the Word of God for an hour and a half, you're going to probably struggle, unless you're naturally somebody who can just sit down and do that, in which case, wonderful, praise God for that. But actually, most of us, if we think we're going to sit down and read something for an hour, we probably won't do it. But if we sit down and say, I'm just going to read some of what God has said to me, the thing I've found is the more I read, the more I want to read. As with any good page turner or any good novel, you get those times where you read a bit and you just want to know more. You just want to read more and discover more of what the word is saying to God. Not only do you want to read more, but you also want to understand it more as well. And it's got to begin somewhere. So if all you can manage is 5 minutes, do 5 minutes. If you can't manage Leviticus, don't read Leviticus yet. Read a gospel, read a psalm, read something that can just capture your imagination and help you to see how amazing these words are. Sixthly, read it with others, because that's how it was intended to be read. The Bible wasn't designed or written to be read in isolation. Now, it's wonderful we have got it, and it's wonderful we can do it, and I'm not saying don't do that. But it was designed to be read with others. It was designed to be read in community so that we can question, so that we can wrestle, so that we can ask the questions that we struggle with, so that we can work together on the passages we don't understand, those ones that cause those moral questions that we can't get our heads around. If we read them in community, we can ask those questions together. Now, in the font was a little rubber duck for Chloe, okay? Now, last week, I bought a whole new batch of rubber ducks. And those rubber ducks are all completely different. Every single one of them is completely different. Different colours, different designs. Some of them are doing something. Some of them are in the colours and shapes of various sporting events or whatever it may be. And I'm trying to use those prophetically. And so for Chloe, I got a rubber duck holding a book. And the reason is because I genuinely believe Chloe has really mastered this skill of asking the right questions about the Word of God. And she's not afraid to ask them. Far too often, when we sit down with others to read the Bible, we're too scared to ask questions that we think we should already know the answers to, or that other people are going to judge us for not knowing. I'm telling you here, every single person in this room will be wrestling with some of those questions. And if we read the Word of God together, we can discover together how wonderful it is, and wrestle with those questions and know that it's okay to do so. Finally, and possibly most importantly, always read the Word of God with the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is a part of God. Our God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we know that the Holy Spirit plays an important role in our lives. And one of the things that he primarily does is reveal. He's the God who loves to reveal himself, to reveal his plans, to reveal what he's doing, to reveal his word, to reveal his truth, to reveal his character, his nature, to reveal his plans for our lives, his purpose for our lives. And one of the ways he does that is when we sit down with scripture and read it with him. Now, when I was growing up, my favorite author was Roald Dahl. I loved Roald Dahl. His books were amazing. I still love them now, and reading to the kids is fun. I love his stories. I love the way he crafted stories, the amazing words he came up with that were complete nonsense words, a lot of them. Wonderful characters, wonderful stories. I would have loved the opportunity to sit down with Roald Dahl with one of his books and to read it with him. My favorite was George's Marvelous Medicine. And to read it with him and say, where did that word come from? How did you think of that? What does that character show you about the world? Why have you written that story in that way? I'm sure most of you know a lot of Roald Dahl's stories involve orphans and broken families and broken homes. I'd want to know why is he does that so much and how it is he talks so much about people finding family. To be able to sit down with the author and ask him questions about why he wrote what he wrote would be wonderful, wouldn't it? With God, we can do that. When we sit down with the Bible, we can ask the author of it the questions we long to ask. To know the things we long to know, to see the things we long to see by inviting his Holy Spirit to read it with us and for us to read it with him. We should never, ever, ever open the Bible for any reason, whether it's for study, whether it's for personal quiet time reflection, whether it's to prepare for a sermon, whatever it's for, we should never, ever, ever open the Bible without inviting the Holy Spirit to read it with us. He is an integral part of us understanding and receiving it and also growing in love with it. Ask him to help you fall in love with it. And I'd be very surprised if you don't. We know in life that we're far more likely to do something in response to love than we are to do something that we feel obliged to do. So the more we fall in love with the Word of God, the more we will want to read the Word of God. And as we do, our picture of God and his character will grow and deepen and widen, and the more we'll want to discover of him. And the hope and prayer is that more we do that, the more we grow in that journey, whether we're new to faith, whether we haven't even got faith yet and we just want to learn about God by reading his Bible, or whether we're growing in our discipleship of Jesus, the more we do it, the more we will be able to stand alongside the psalmist and say, I love your words, O Lord. And I incline my heart to your ways. So may we be a people like Chloe, who ask the questions and seek to grow more and more and more in love with his words given to us so that we may know him more. Amen.